It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. More Windows 11 22H2 deployment drama for you. Microsoft Edge 106 now out. Vivaldi 5.5. We also have the Ignite session catalog, and there's some interesting sessions. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more next on Windows Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 797, recorded Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. Fish and Ferraris. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Melissa. Poor data quality can cost organizations an average of $15 million a year. Make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And by Unify Meeting from MIMO Monitors. Unify simplifies your work life by combining your favorite video conferencing solutions into one reliable, universal user interface. Visit unifymeeting.com and enter the code WW for 25% off a year's subscription, or use the same code and get 25% off any of MIMO's 7-inch displays. And by SecureWorks. Are you ready for inevitable cyber threats? SecureWorks detects evolving adversaries and defends against them with a combination of security analytics and threat intelligence directly from their own counter-threat unit. Visit SecureWorks.com/twit to get a free trial of Taegis Extended Detection and Response, also referenced as XDR. It's time for Windows Weekly! He said weekly. The show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Here he is, Paul Thurrott at Thurrott.com. On the left, Mary Jo Foley on the right side of your screen. Wait a minute, are they giving... Okay, I don't want to say anything to the team. Mm-hmm. But Mary Jo is expanding. Her half of the screen is...
I knew it. You're like the guys that paint the street lines in my neighborhood. Like one side is like two-thirds the width.
I'll have to work on that.
And I think it's fine.
It's fine. Perfect. Mary Jo, stretch out. We can't even see Paul's left shoulder. Mary Jo, you've got all the room in the world. Just enjoy.
I'm enjoying my 600 enjoy. Square feet right now.
It's just proving my point. Hey, Windows 22H2. How's
Things
it going?
Are fine.
How's it going out great. There?
It's going great.
How's the world like it?
I love it. They're noticing all the major differences.
Are they?
Don't make me laugh.
What are those?
You silly boy.
I think it's going okay. I mean, in the sense that I'm not hearing a lot of problems and a lot of the same problems. The biggest problem maybe being I can't get it.
Yeah. Right. Who's getting it these days?
Well, up until yesterday, Seekers, right?
Yeah.
We're getting it.
Yeah.
But now
but not all of them, right? Based on
some of the Seekers.
Not all of them.
Hardware compatibility.
Some of the Seekers. What percentage would your guess be?
Very small.
Tiny.
It's hard to tell because the squeaky wheels get the grease, right? So we hear from all the people like, I can't get it. I want to get it. Why can't I get it? So I don't have a good sense of.
You know, when Elon Musk owns Twitter, this is all going to be over.
Yeah, it'll all be moot.
Just tweet it. Tweet it. It says it being Microsoft, says it's speeding up the delivery. It's speeding up.
Yeah, so in their usual loquacious way, Microsoft yesterday revealed via a support document that... they were speeding up the deployment of Windows 11 version 22H2. And, you know, this is one of those things where they talk about how transparent they are, but we literally have no idea what this even means. I mean, they're increasing the rollout to more machines, obviously. It sort of begs the question for me, which is that you said, Microsoft, that if I don't get it, I can go to a site and see why I'm not getting it. But that suggests... that there is some people just aren't getting it, you know, so another, in fact, it says it explicitly, we are increasing the availability all who check for updates on eligible Windows devices. Right. Obviously, if we detect that your device has an issue, we might have a safeguard to hold in place. So this suggests that last week, if you had an eligible Windows device, which is such a terrible term, a supported Windows 10 or Windows 11 PC checked, you could have qualified for this update, but not and but not have not, even right. though you were a seeker. It's crazy. Yep.
No, those are the people I'm hearing from. Those ones yeah. who are like, I checked for it. I have the original Windows 11, so I think my PC qualifies, right? But why can't I get it?
Yeah.
Why can't I get 20?
So here's a tip for people out here. Because Windows Update is not communicating effectively what's happening, right? This is something that should be happening. Yeah. It should say, here's Windows 11 22H2, if that's what you want, or this is why you're not getting it, and you click a link, and you can actually see a list of the safeguard holes, right? That's how the system's supposed to work. That's not happening, yeah. right? So yeah. you go to Windows Update, you check for updates, nothing comes up. Here's the tip. And the tip would help if I knew the name of the thing. The Windows 10, it's like the installation. Let me just find the exact name. I don't want to screw this up.
Do you mean the intelligent upgrade assistant thing? Is that what
yeah,
you mean?
Probably. Intelligent upgrade assistant. Yeah. So if the idea here is you go through this process. It unfortunately, if you get blocked, it takes a long time for it to happen. But the point of this is this will let you know if you have a safeguard hold. So if you try to upgrade this way, rather than downloading the ISO and just kind of forcing it, because that will always work. Use that upgrade assistant, whatever. Eventually the site will come up and I'll give you the exact name. But what it will do is download the update, then check your system. It's crazy. It does it in the wrong order. But if you have a safeguard hold, it will literally tell you and it will literally prevent you from getting it via that means. So that's kind of an interesting thing because Windows Update should be telling you this information. It's not. But for now, you can find out via this tool here.
Does it tell you the name of the blocker or a blocker number?
It's the same back end, right? So
yeah,
no, it does not. You can use I'm going to forget the name of everything today. Sorry. The PC Health Check app will tell you if your system meets the requirements, right? So if you're in Windows 11 version 1, 21H2, obviously you meet the requirements. Right. But if you're on Windows 10, that might still be useful. The site is literally not coming up. I have no idea why. I can't make the site.
Fill in some words while you're looking
Windows,
for that.
Sorry to say it real quick. Windows 11 Installation Assistant is the name of
Installation Assistant. Okay, no intelligence, so if you just Installation Assistant.
Search for Download Windows 11. It's the top link on the page that eventually comes up. It's a wizard-based application. Very simple. Very useful if you want it and are kind of curious why you're not getting it.
Yeah. Okay,
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So I started hearing from people who said there were other safeguard holds that weren't. So on the Microsoft release information page, they list blockers, some of which are safeguard holds, some of which are not, right? So we talked last week about the printer thing where and some installed printers might only allow default settings. We know about the Intel Smart Sound technology driver block. There's a group policy preferences might not work as expected one. And then there's an error message that means security update for secure boot DBX might fail to install. So those are the four that are listed on Microsoft's page. But there are a lot more, like hundreds more than that, right? And they're not listed anywhere on Microsoft's security page. So I found a couple of interesting places you can go look to try to find out if you want to know why am I blocked, right? So I'm going to have to say this on the air. I hope it's okay because one of these scripts has a funny name. It's called FU.Why Am I Blocked?
Stands for Felix
Unger.
Why
am I blocked? Felix Unger, Why Am I Blocked? It's a PowerShell script that Adam Gross, who is a Microsoft MVP, created. You can get it on GitHub. MVP. Who was an MVP until today when I read the name of a script
somebody
on the air.
Unhappy.
Happening automatically, right? I mean,
yes.
Everyone listening to this should look at the Windows Update, get it, or find out why they're not getting it. That's how the system's supposed to work.
Right. So this guy created the script, and you can run it, and it will show you a list of possible or likely holds on your machine as to why you won't get it. There's another person whose name is Gary Block, B-L-O-K. He has a website called GaryTown.com. He's actually crowdsourcing a database of blocks that are on Windows 11 22H2. He's got like 100 of them so far in this database that he's built. So people are kind of like taking matters into their own hands, because for whatever reason, Microsoft does not detail why a lot of machines are blocked, and people want to know. They're like, why am I blocked?
Even though the information is out there and publicly available.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
I've had very poor results with this. I've not checked since Microsoft, you know, changed the update availability, but the two times that I've been able to get through to that they actually provided a more learn more link, which is supposed to be specific to your computer. It said, sorry, there's nothing here. Time and calendar.
Yep. Yep. But I think these are interesting. I forget which one of the two of those guys said they had over 1,000 machines. They're both IT admins. Over 1,000 machines in his org were blocked. And he's like, I want to know why. So they've been working on finding out, right? Yeah, they're like, I want to install this.
The machine that surprises me I'm not getting this on is it just came out. It's an HP Elite Dragonfly G3.
Yeah.
You know, super modern components, all that kind of stuff. I keep checking through HP support, assistant app to get updates there. I literally removed a printer from it, from it knowing about it, to see if that did it. I got an Intel chipset update through the support app, and I thought maybe this is it, you know? And no.
So do we know what the reasons tend to be? Do we have any?
Well, here's one that the DeviceGuard one seems to be coming up a lot, right? So DeviceGuard installed on certain processors, like Tiger Lake, Alder Lake, and Ice Lake, the client Ice Lake, you get a message saying secure launch data not migrated. That seems to be coming up for a number of people
secure
when they're doing these tests.
Data not migrated.
It seems like DeviceGuard, in combination with certain processors, like you have to go in and manually turn it off to get it to install, which seems a little iffy and risky, right? I'm like, why is that happening? So Microsoft knows this is happening. I asked them about it and they said, yeah, we know it's happening and we're working on it, but we don't have a time frame when we think that'll be fixed.
So turn off all the security and then you'll be able to get this update we're trying to send you from the internet. So that's the
advice? I know. It seems risky, right?
Just take it on your firewall. Click this file. It's a VBS file. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I also would like to point out that this update is only half done, right? Like Microsoft is going to give you part two of Windows 11 22H2 starting in October and into November. So I'm kind of surprised how many companies are actually interested in upgrading at this point, because you're going to get Windows 11 22H2 as it went out 2 weeks ago. But a lot of the features that you want, especially things like Tabbed File Explorer and possibly Intelligent Suggestions, those aren't coming until this minor update to Windows 11 22H2 starting this month and into next month. So I'm a little bit surprised some IT organizations are ready to upgrade now. I think if I were them, I might wait till part two is ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, meaning after that October update is installed.
Yeah.
Everyone's needs are different, but I think the File Explorer thing with the tabs and the Snap Layouts feature are the two big things happening in 22H2.
Right.
Yeah. So one is available now and the other one's available in the October update whenever that happens.
Right.
Why not just wait?
I don't know. Maybe they want to test it on a bunch of their machines before they widely deploy it or something. I'm not sure, but It seems like the people who are getting it aren't really having a ton of problems. Although there is one that we're going to talk about in a bit that just came up recently. I'm sure there are more than that one, but mostly I'm hearing positive experiences. And on the machine I put it on, my Surface Laptop 3, so far so good, seems to be working.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally been using this thing since July.
Right.
Really haven't had any issues. I installed a KB that puts some of the October updates features in there because I'm, you know, writing a book and I want to be able to document them.
Yeah.
And I've actually had some issues with File Explorer because of that. But I don't think that's an issue in the mainstream builds anymore. Like I'm just on a, I'm literally on something from July for the most part. So
I think that's when I put it on this Dell XPS 15, the 12th gen.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
The first only issue, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, sometimes waking from sleep, I get a green screen. I think I'm on the 22H2 beta, right?
Beta is green screen.
Green screen. So maybe so
you'll know when you're unstable when it's blue.
It'll be blue when it crashes. So that'll be nice. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Something. So waking from sleep, I think, for some reason. I don't know.
You know what's funny?
I just close the lid when I'm done with the day, so I don't do anything special.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. That's what I used to do on the Surface Laptop 3. Right before I installed 22H2, I started having all these problems with sleep. Like it was like draining my battery. It wasn't going to sleep. Ever since I put 22H2 on it, sleep is working correctly. So
maybe the green screen is working correctly then. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's doing what it's supposed to do.
I don't think so.
It usually is a fairly long recovery process. It says, okay, we're going to save some data. Okay, now we're going to reboot and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's a weird error. Didn't happen today.
That's good.
Is the window closed? Is it closing?
I mean, technically, it should have closed. You're wondering why you haven't already been pushed out the stable.
I might have. I don't know. I'm going to have to. Yeah. Let me just check my Windows updates and see.
It seems like that should have happened the day this thing came out.
Seems like. Could it be? That's why I was puzzled.
This is how them not communicating effectively gets in the way of everything. What other possibility is that it's tied to your particular machine, that maybe Dell XPS 15 is not being offered this update yet because of one of those weird driver things, and maybe that's tied to your blue screen, your green screen. Maybe once that does happen, then you'll be pushed out the stable.
I'm still I'm queued for unenrollment, is what they call it. I'm queued up for unenrollment.
Yep.
So,
but we don't know when that magic day is, right? Like they haven't said yet when that is.
And I ain't gonna do the immediate thing.
2 weeks ago,
to stop getting insider preview builds on this device, you need to clean install the latest release. Ain't gonna do that,
right?
Yeah.
It's so confusing. What's this orange thing? Your device is set up to get insider preview builds.
Yeah.
But once
they haven't said the magic window date yet, right? They haven't said that, have they?
They don't really. They sometimes don't. You know?
Yeah, right.
It just happens, and we all know.
The magic happens. Yep.
If I leave the insider program, would that be good to do?
You can't.
You can't.
I'm queued. I'm queued for an enrollment.
You're doing what you can do.
Yeah.
Unless you want to wipe the whole thing.
Furthermore, it says I'm not enrolled as one anyway, so screw you. You can't unenroll something you're not enrolled in?
Knowing the way things have been going lately, this could be a weird bug. I feel like this should have already happened.
I feel like it should have. It is my Microsoft account over here.
Yep.
If I click leave the insider program, it says
they're going to tell you how you can reset
the email address is not registered to a Windows Insider. So maybe it's because I've queued for unenrollment. They know. They just know I'm queued.
Yes.
And I already have
email address. This is not talking about your computer. Maybe you're signed it. Maybe
no. I just showed you. You mean on the browser?
Yeah, the web browser. It says right up in the top right of the
Yeah, no, that's the right account. LeoLaporteOutlook.com. By the way, I already have the Bing wallpaper app, but thanks for asking me to download it again.
Sure.
That's an ad, isn't it? I think that's an ad. No, I'll just say no thanks. At least it didn't ask me.
That's a suggestion.
It's not an ad.
Learn Microsoft speak. It's the language that makes everything they're doing look better.
It's a suggestion. And I'm a suggestible fella, as Instagram knows well. All right. Well, I'll just be patient. I'm not, I'm good.
Actually, I think it's weird. I don't know.
I love this FU. Why am I blocked? that's a kind of a funny
that's another person crying out for what we keep talking about, which is why are you not communicating effectively?
Yeah,
literally.
It's funny. So when I posted a story about all this, a person from Microsoft who work, I think, in the developer division came on and said, why can't we do this? I work for Microsoft. Right. I want to know why we can't publish this. I'm like, yeah,
well they can.
Other people want to know.
Somewhere this guy got to the information.
Yeah.
that's kind of my point. You're telling me that this PowerShell script can do this, but Windows Update can't?
Yeah, it's kind of
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
That's literally how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they don't have Python in Redmond.
What's a Mac looking like these days?
You know, maybe it's because things aren't verified. Like they don't feel like it's a complete verification that these things don't work. I don't know. Or they don't want to provide a time frame for when they can fix it. And
we were told very explicitly that they would continue their policy of utter transparency.
Yeah.
Remember?
I know.
Yeah. They're so proud of themselves. Yeah. Has anyone,
you know what? You know what I will say? They've gotten more transparent about this than before.
Have they? I would like to hear from anyone who has gone to Windows Update, searched for this update, been told they can't get it, clicked on more, learn more, and actually gotten a reason why. I'd love to hear from that one human being. If you're out there,
but I feel like in general,
please email me.
No,
I want to see this.
In general, they're getting better about telling us something. Like I feel like before, like maybe like with Windows 10, we got like nothing. I don't even think they had these release information pages. Did they until later and along the curve and stuff? So
I
don't know.
I'd like
to encourage some Paul.
I've never heard from anyone who saw the information.
I'm using honey, not vinegar here. I want them to be more transparent.
Oh, you don't mean the Edge plugin, browser plugin?
No,
honey. No,
I do not.
You mean the sweet, sweet stuff that comes from bees?
I do.
Yes.
Well,
as Alexis Ohanian pointed out, it's free to raise your own honey.
Right.
Of course, if you're married to Serena Williams, you probably don't care if it's free or not. But.
Exactly.
Do you think he's got honey on his penthouse roof there? You know, just honeybees gathering pollen.
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
Have you ever been around honeybees?
Yeah, it seems a little risky.
There's a reason people wear suits.
Okay. One of the reasons you can't get Windows 22H2 is featured in the head image of our of our notes today. We now know the reason.
That's what took me so long to figure out. I'm like, what am I looking at?
Why are you looking at
Dell
printers?
Printers and computers.
Did you get that from Unsplash, or is that your own image? Or
I got my own image on this.
Nice, very nice, Mary Jo, showing the creativity, showing the spark.
Well, what happened to me was I tried to upload an image one time, and it's like, hey, you got to pay for this now. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done with the images. I think that's enough of that.
Do you pay for Notion, Mary Jo?
No.
Oh,
no.
I do. I do.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I could give you images anytime. Just tell me.
No, it just lets me upload images for free, and icons as well, even customized icons.
It's $48 a year, Paul.
You know, we'll talk about death by subscription someday
that's
soon.
True. That's a true. Yeah. That's a true one. Yeah. And I'm suffering it right now. So why can't we get it? Printers?
Yeah. The printer thing.
Printers. What's going on with printers?
Yeah. This is kind of
Leo. Apparently.
Explanation.
I think this is the one issue Microsoft has publicly acknowledged. That.
Yeah.
There is a class of printers that use certain drivers that is causing a problem with the update. So they put a compatibility hold or whatever, like a safeguard hold. Mm. If you have one of these installed, you know, attached. It's not even attached to the computer. Most of these are probably network attached. I literally tried to get around this by uninstalling the printer that is on all of my computers just to see, you know, maybe this will do something. Maybe the printer we're using is in this list and didn't do a thing. So
should you just, if you just disconnected your printers and uninstalled the drivers and then tried, maybe?
Well, that's what I don't know, because I tried that and it didn't work. I might not have the printer that's impacted by this, so that might not have been a good test.
If you go to the release information site for Microsoft, they have a workaround that they suggest, but they say... It is not. But they say any users affected by the printer hold should not attempt to manually upgrade using the update now button or the media creation tool till we get the safeguard hold removed.
Oh, that's interesting. To be clear, what they are sort of implicitly acknowledging is what I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, which is that you could force this if you use the ISO, which is what those tools get.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think this is a big deal for most people, but people listening to this, if they want it, you probably got it already. You worked around it. You may not have even known you've been working around it. you're probably fine. Mainstream people, the people listen to Leo's show, should never do anything like that. But that upgrade assistant is kind of an interesting tool. Like I said, it takes way too long to get to this point, but it will tell you if you have a safeguard hold. It won't tell you what it is, but it will tell you that you have one. And that's kind of an interesting way. If someone is a little meek or not technical or whatever, isn't really sure of this, even though I honestly don't think it's a big deal. That's the sign. Maybe it's time to stop trying. Particular issue, for example, with printers, if you had a printer that was impacted by this, you would be blocked from the upgrade assistance.
I say, everyone be patient. Wait for the November update. That's all you really, you want that anyway. And by then, hopefully, a number of these safeguard holds will be gone.
The problem is your impatience.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah, truthfully, it really is.
But you know what? If there were a lot of good features in this and you were like dying for something, then I'd say, yeah, I see why everyone's chomping at the bit to do this.
But there's not.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
There's not.
Right. You won't even notice the difference. I know.
I didn't. I finished installing, I'm like, I don't see anything. Like, I know there are a couple small things. Like, the word focus shows up in the notification center now. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
There's a goofy. Like, so, kind of stuff? Yeah, they are all small. I will say, because some of the computers I have now still have the original version of Windows 11.
That might be bigger.
At first, you don't notice. You might not notice.
Yeah.
But then you go to look for something in particular. You're like, wait, what's going on here? One goofy condition you can get into with the original version of Windows 11 is when you first boot into the system, you have like a little half moon, like a crescent moon icon. And that's indicating that you're in focus mode or whatever, focus assist or whatever it is. If there are no notifications, it's not obvious how you get rid of that thing, because you click on the date and time display and normally notifications and calendar come up. But if there are notifications, like if you clear them, in the original version of Windows 11, the notification pane disappears, and that's where the button is to turn that thing off. So you can actually go into the settings app and turn it off, but I don't know how you would know that. So in Windows 11 22H2, they've changed the name of the feature a little bit. Now it's Do Not Disturb, and then there's a, I guess it's called Focus or it's Assist or whatever. The buttons for those things will always be available if you click the date and time display. So if you have no notifications in 22H2, you still get a notifications pane, and it still has a toggle for Do Not Disturb, which is what that feature has been renamed to.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a weird thing. It's like you get into a position where you can see you're in focus mode. It tells you you're in focus mode. You can't get out of it. you can, but it's just not obvious how.
Yeah.
There's a similar problem in the opposite direction with the new File Explorer. If you customize the home display, which is like the quick access favorites and recents bit, if you get rid of some of those special folders in quick access, you actually lose access to them in File Explorer. You can go into the file system and find them. But they used to always be available there in the main view, and now they're gone. Like, you actually can't get to them. So if you go to this PC in Windows 10 or the first version of Windows 11, you'll see those special folders above your drives. Those are gone now in 22H2. So, there are folders like I go to only occasionally, like pictures, because it has screenshots. I unpin that from quick access, and now I can't get to it very easily. I can't, because I wrote a book about Windows 11. I can figure it out. But I'm saying, these are the types of things that I think would screw up, normal people.
If you had multiple computers running different versions of 11, right?
That's the other issue. Yeah.
I mean, that's who you are, but I mean, most people aren't going to.
What I mean is, so for the entire duration of Windows 10 and through to Windows 11 version, the first version of Windows 11, you could go into the home view and say, I don't like, for my way of customizing it is I keep desktop and I keep downloads, but I get rid of the other ones because I don't want them in that view. They were always available from this PC. So if I went to this PC, I saw all those folders.
Oh, yeah. It's weird.
But now those are gone from this PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if you carry forward a customized version of Windows 11, actually it brings folders back. But if you go to and it customizes again, you actually lose
stuff disappears
to get to those things again.
Yeah.
It's just it's a hard thing to describe, especially if you're not looking at it, but it's, it will bite some people. It's just one of those kind of weird.
So,
configurations.
This safeguard hold, I'm looking at Robert Haas's post in our Discord. Does it? It gives you a number or something. It gives you some idea of why, right? So that's how the FU, Adam Gross's FU script works, is crowdsourcing that number, right?
So in other words, your computer could have one or more safeguard holes.
Right.
There's some database ID associated with every one of them,
right,
for sure.
So you can look that
up.
In
other words, the way the system's supposed to work is you go to Windows Update, check for updates. If there's a safeguard hole on your computer, it will say, hey, good news, Windows 11's coming soon. Not for you. You can't get it right now. There's a safeguard hold. And then there's a learn more link. And when you click on that link, you go to a web page. It lists, it explains what safeguard holds are. And then it's tied to your particular PC. And it will list all of the safeguard holds if they're available, you know, if they exist. That page does not list anything for anybody, as far as I know.
Oh, it's empty.
Which is what I asked about earlier. That's why I said, if anyone has actually seen this UI, I would love to see a picture of it. I don't believe anyone's seen it. I don't think it's working.
It's just broken.
I think it's broken.
Yeah.
It has been 2 weeks, and they have had 1 year to figure this out. I'm just anyone, Max, nobody,
hello, no? Wake up.
So anyway, it's a little frustrating because I think there's just a lack of attention to detail that spills out all over the place in Windows 11, and it's frustrating. You know, it's a new version is just going to bring new problems, and that's what we're talking about.
But it's minor. And you don't care because you don't need it.
This update.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Well, you want it.
You want it. I understand you want it.
You know you want it.
It's like Steve
Gibson.
If
you want more Snap layouts, you want it.
You want it. But you can't have it. So are you saying Windows 11 is for closers? Is that what you're saying?
It's for closers.
Dozers, closers.
Closers. 22H2 is for closers. Put that 22H2 down. Put that update down.
Look, the cool kids are all running it. I don't know what you guys are doing. You know, but
you want 22H2, but you can't have 22H2. 22H2 would be wasted on you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You don't
exclusive.
Need focus.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, you were in the in crowd. You get it. But you're not. So whatever.
That's hysterical. But yeah, just to reassure people, it's okay. I don't even talk about this on the radio show because I don't want to set up these.
I will say, I mean, I talk about the downgrade test all the time, and the downgrade test is you buy something new or upgrade to some new version of something, right? So a new phone, new version of Windows, it could be anything like that. And then you go back and you use the other one. And if an upgrade is a good upgrade, you go back and you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad I have this other thing, you know? But it's fair to say, I do use different computers, different versions of Windows 11, and
that would be
large,
then confusing. Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, no, by and large, I don't. No, not just confusing, but I don't miss not having it.
Oh, it's not confusing.
I don't use File Explorer tabs. I don't need Snap Assist.
Yeah.
Snap Layout. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, honestly, the thing that I don't like is the thing that. It's kind of a weird stop in my brain is File Explorer, because the layout is different in the navigation pane. And because of that issue that I'm saying out loud and doesn't make sense unless you're looking at it, but not being able to get those folders from this PC is weird. And it's because, you know, Windows, what year is it? So it's been at least seven years. Maybe this was in Windows 8.1. I don't remember, but for at least the past 7 years, File Explorer has worked a certain way in this regard. And now it does not. And actually I do notice that. So that's, you know, but for the most part, it's not a big upgrade.
Not big. Yeah. Always be updating. ABU.
Yeah.
Always be updating.
It's like a career, except you're not getting paid. It's nice. Keep yourself busy.
It is. I'm surprised, actually. It has been a year.
Right.
Since Windows 11 came out. A year. A whole year.
It feels way longer.
For all the talk. For all the
Doesn't
talk.
It feels like it should have been way more than a year by now.
That's funny. That's so funny. Yeah. I don't know if it feels longer or shorter. I don't know. I don't know how it feels.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Well, yeah,
it
is, 1 year ago
we
today.
We were teased this UI, right, with Windows 10X. Yeah. So we sort of, you know, we've kind of been expecting to see this thing for a while.
Right.
But yeah. I got to go back to Windows 10 and see if I care.
Yeah. Yeah. You would care, Paul.
You care.
I think I would. Actually, I think I would.
He cares, Steve. Yeah. We know that.
Yeah.
I like the aesthetics of Windows 11.
Yeah. I'm happy on it, actually. I'm glad I moved. I've gotten used to the centered taskbar, the way the search works, the way workspaces work. And yeah, now that I'm used to it, it's great.
This, my wife upgraded, you know. I noticed. I still looked at her computer. I said, "You're running Windows 11." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "What do you think?" She goes, "I'm like, well, it's different." She's like, "I don't."
Yeah, no, it's not. You know,
she didn't really notice it.
It's just an operating system, Paul. You care more than most.
Yeah.
Just an operating system. If it's just an operating system, why have I wasted the past year of my life writing a friggin' book about it?
Just an operating system. They're a dime a
just
dozen.
Just an operating system.
It's a commodity product, Paul. It's like pork bellies.
It's a commodity product. Oh, boy. Like the comic book guy.
It's undifferentiated.
Wasted my life.
Oh, please. Oh. All right. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, Paul will bemoan his wasted life in greater detail. But first, a word. First, a word from my good friend Melissa. You know the name Melissa, the address experts, a leading provider, the leading provider, I would submit, of global data quality and address management solutions. Why do you care? Well, you should. If you're in business, poor data quality can cost you a lot. Average, about $15 million a year. Sure, billing the wrong people, sending information to the wrong place, sending products to the wrong place, mailing 5 copies of the same catalog, the same address, that kind of thing. And if you're a small or medium-sized business, every penny counts. You can't afford to be doing that. And here's the really bad news. The longer that bad data stays in your system, the more issues, the more losses you accumulate. Because it's just decaying right in front of your very eyes. It's rotting away. Melissa is never, here's a really important kind of bottom line. Melissa is never going to cost you more than you're going to save. That's the promise. That's the return on investment. It's never going to cost you more than you're going to save. In fact, you probably save a lot more than it costs. Your customer information has to be accurate for a lot of reasons. Customer service too, right? If you got a customer calling your customer service line, and this happened to me, they say, "Who are you? What's your name? You live where?" I told you I'm your customer. Well, you know, I don't have anybody by that name. Is your first name Joe? Oh yeah, that's me. Now you got a frustrated customer and the wrong information. Things go from bad to worse. Check out Melissa's cloud-based data cleansing and enrichment tool. It's so easy to use. Step one, you upload your file, Excel, CSV. You put that in the first tab. You upload that to the first tab. You copy and paste your data into the second tab, either one. So you could paste it or upload it, either whatever you like, however it makes you feel good, okay? Step two, you got a list of data quality services, and they have the best, all sorts of stuff. You click next. If you need to, you can map the input fields. Usually, Melissa gets it right out of the box. Select the output fields, the data to append, press the button, process your list, bada bing, bada boom, you're good. And you're saving money now. Melissa's data quality suite will eliminate clutter and duplicates, reducing postage and mailing costs, sending out all those extra catalogs or sending them to the wrong address. Or, you know, you're sending a product to the wrong address. That's a big loss you got there. Melissa also offers batch address cleaning, process an entire address list for accuracy and completeness. You could do name verification, parse and standardize first and last names for personalization. Say, you know, "Hello, Laporte." No. How many times you get mail that, you know, for a long time I was getting mail to Helen Laporte. There's no Helen Laporte. Somehow they got Leo as Helen. Yeah, you say minor thing, but it doesn't exude professionalism. You know what I'm saying? They also can profile, analyze your data to improve its quality over time. And the email verification can remove 95% of bad email addresses right away. Boom, like that from your database. And boy, is Melissa flexible. You can deploy it on-prem as an API. They have a lookups app now. This is nice on iOS and Android to search addresses, verify social numbers, social security numbers, access detailed property data. And of course, your data is totally secure with Melissa. In fact, they're so committed, they have regular independent security audits to reinforce their commitment to data security, privacy, and compliance. SOC 2 compliant, yes, HIPAA compliant, yes, GDPR compliant. So, you know, they're protecting your stuff. Melissa's data quality suite and clean suite speaks for itself, but once again, proud to say it, named a leader by G2. Melissa is experienced, independent, has 37 years of data quality expertise. That's why more than 10,000 businesses know them as the address experts. And if you sign up for a service level agreement, great, 24/7, world-renowned support from their global support center. Make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Get started today. 1,000 records cleaned free. Melissa.com/twit. M-E-L-I-S-S-A. Melissa.com/twit. Make sure you use that address so Paul and Mary Jo get credit here. We'll make sure that people know this stuff works. Get your ROI here, folks. On we go. We have now covered the Windows 22 H2 debacle. I'm sorry. I've clicked in the weather, and now I've got the whole left-hand side of the screen is filled with Donald Trump's face. Wait a minute, I got to close that. Okay. Back to the
widgets.
Show. God, I hate these. I hate these.
Shut it off. You can shut it off.
Well, I just... What? You can't what? You can't shut
it. You know, let's talk about it. Because actually, so you can't completely shut it off. But you know what? Let's... Yeah. The next topic, if I'm not mistaken,
will
address an issue I raised earlier and the issue you raised right now.
Okay. New builds for the dev and beta channel. Mr. Thurrock.
So the dev build in particular is interesting because this is an attempt to address the issue I raised earlier in general, which is just the kind of lack of attention to detail, right? So they kind of, you know, regurgitated Windows 11 out into the world. And people were like, hey, I can't right-click on the taskbar. Or you just noticed, for example, hey, I moused over this thing and a stupid interface came up. Like, I like having the weather, but I don't want that stupid thing to come up. Right. Yeah. So in the dev build, actually, both of those issues are being addressed. So they've added back the ability to right-click the desktop and get that task manager option everyone's complaining about, right? So nice. Because today, when you right-click the taskbar in Windows 11, you just get taskbar settings.
Yeah.
So I still do this. I consider myself to be a fairly experienced user, but because I've been doing the same thing for 20-whatever years, I still right-click on the taskbar, see that I cannot start task manager that way, use my lizard brain to remember now I have to go do this other thing, but now it's coming back. So I don't have to remember that. I'm going to be happy when that happens.
You could. I always hit Control-Alt-Delete. That's okay, right?
That will do it. Yep. Actually, by the way, Control-Alt-Delete is actually the best way to get to task manager because that doesn't involve the shell, and it will work even if the shell is broken.
Right.
A little tidbit for you.
The good old three-finger salutes right there.
What about right-clicking on the start button? No?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that works fine. Yeah, that works.
Primitive.
It works. But that's one of, like, that's one of 11 ways to do it. It's just not the way I do it.
There are many ways. Yeah. And I just, from good old days, have Control-Alt-Delete in my fingertips.
Yeah.
There you go. We all use muscle memory, so.
Yeah.
Any muscle memory is right-click the taskbar. But yes, actually, this is a little tidbit for everybody. That is actually the best way to do it in the sense that it will always work. So if you go back to Windows 10, Windows 10 had an interface like widgets. It was called, I think, News and Interests. It was over toward the system tray, not way over on the left side. But it was the same thing. And they evolved it over time. Eventually, they added like this weather display like you see. But one of the things that News and Interests has that widgets does not is the ability to configure it so that if you mouse over it, it doesn't open. And in Windows 11, they just took that option away.
They're bringing it back.
So, or they're at least testing bringing it back. So this is what I'm talking about. The sort of a lack of fit and finish, they're addressing it over a really long period of time. You know, we were just talking about how, oh, I can't believe it's been a year. It seems like much longer than that. Yeah, but this thing just came out in this really incomplete form. A year went by, they released a major new version, and they still haven't addressed a bunch of the complaints that people have about stuff that just doesn't work well, work the same, or work period, you know. Another interesting little fit and finish update coming in some future version of Windows 11 is that when you use the snipping tool, it will have the futuristic feature of just saving the picture to your screenshots folder. Like instead of forcing you to go through the save it, why wouldn't it have always worked like that? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's going to save time for sure.
Yes. Yep. That's nice. I mean, I install a third party tool specifically because I just want it to work. I don't want to sit there and, you know, determine the name of the file and where it goes. I just want it to save.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not now, but someday it will. Right. We don't know when. It's dev channel. It could be a year from now, but they are working on it. And so Microsoft taketh away. And in some cases, Microsoft giveth back. That makes sense. So that's what they're testing now.
So you keep saying you can't turn widgets off all the way, but you can, right? Like, I don't ever see widgets ever.
Yeah, but if you type Windows Q plus W, you will see widgets. So it's still there.
Why would I ever type that?
You might type it by mistake. I mean, you know, it's just a like. Okay, but for example,
I know what you mean. I know you mean it's not gone from your system, but I can make it so I never see it. Right.
That's true. You can remove the UI for it. Windows key plus W, I'm sorry, Control plus W is a very common keyboard shortcut, right? It closes the current tab, the current document, the current whatever, depending on the application. Control and Windows key are right next to each other. So it's really possible one day that you might or someone might hit the wrong key combo and be like, what is this disaster of a UI that I'm looking at?
Yeah.
It would be.
So what is that again? Control what?
Windows key plus W
will
bring up widgets.
Yeah, I know about that.
Point being that if you say,
I can get rid of it. So that's a fast way to get rid of it. That's good.
No.
Because it's a toggle.
If it's open. So here's the problem.
Yeah.
What Leo wants, I think, is the ability to see the little weather thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't want the widgets jumping open because maybe he moused over there by mistake, right?
Exactly. Because I often put the mouse for some reason in the lower left-hand corner.
So in Windows 10, you can configure it to do that. In Windows 11 today, you can't. In the future, you will be able to.
One of those 22H2 features?
Why do you look like the Cat in the Hat? What is happening? Are you going to a Jefferson airplane concert tonight? What is this?
One side makes you taller.
Yeah, exactly.
One side makes you small.
Is Tom Petty filming a music video in the next room?
What's that? We're going to see Petty Theft this weekend.
Are you really?
I think for some reason.
Did I actually guess what the hat was?
Yeah.
What is the hat?
Do you? No, it's close. It is. It's a Mad Hatter.
Okay. All right. There you go. Tom Petty. Yeah,
sure. It's Tom Petty's hat.
Yep.
I borrowed it. I'm just curious. I don't mean to just derail the show, but I have now. So let's go.
No reason not to. Yep.
I think we live in the capital of tribute bands. Like, do you guys have a Tom Petty tribute band, an Eagles tribute band, as three Led Zeppelin tribute bands, two AC/DC tribute bands, a Michael Jackson tribute band? They're all here in, like, Northern California.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the San Francisco Bay Area was once the center of music. Yeah.
But there is not a Jefferson Airplane tribute band for some reason.
There should be.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean
just,
to distract.
Just so you never have to hear Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now once again.
Nothing's gonna stop us. So all Windows W, I like that. That's widgets.
Here's the point I was trying to make was you can't actually tell Windows 11 no widgets ever, no matter what. You can't. There's no switch you can turn. Maybe there is.
There might be a registry key or something. Yeah.
Right. I was saying actually maybe there is a way. But as of today, what you can do is remove it from the UI. Mm-hmm. But you can access it by typing Windows key plus W. So if you don't care about the weather display, but maybe occasionally you do want to run widgets, you can
turn it off.
Use the keyboard.
Is that in the taskbar settings?
Yes, it is. If you right click the taskbar, choose taskbar settings.
Widgets off.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I can't do Windows key W. Oh, see, that's perfect.
That's right.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Still
works. That's what you want.
Love it. I mean, I kind of like
someone
would
write a book describing these and other excellent tips, or perhaps have another podcast that is dedicated solely to this form of tip.
Oh, did you cover this on Hands on Windows? And I missed it. Darn it.
I did.
Okay.
I did an episode just on keyboard shortcuts.
I wouldn't mind, however. I mean, if you gave me the choice, my druthers. I like seeing the weather and the temperature in the lower
That's
left.
Right.
That's an empty corner. Mm-hmm. Just
that's
not
right.
want to
you
have
don't
my
want
mouse
to mouse over it and have that stupid thing get in the way. Right. So that's coming. It's not there today, but that is coming.
Oh, right. You gosh bless you. I'm not going to move to Mac after all.
Your life is complete.
This is offensive. But the issue is, this functionality was already in Windows 10. So when they re-implemented this thing in Windows 11, we actually took away feet. This is the type of thing we're talking about, the feature of functional regression that occurs when you move from Windows 10 to Windows 11. This is one of many in a long list of things. Where they, and then I keep saying, over time, they're going to add them all back. And that, you know what it might they be do? 2 years, 5 years, you know, whatever.
No, what they do with some of these is, like, they really want people to have the widgets thing, right? Because that's indirectly and directly connected to ads, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
So what they did was they made it, like, they made it a trick. So they put it over in a place where people automatically would click because they were used to that. But now people have screamed so much. I think what they do is they introduce a feature and they're like, let's see how much people are going to scream. And if they scream a lot, then they're like, all right, let's inch it back, right? And if they don't really scream a lot, they
exceed
leave it,
our authority, right? And then say we're sorry.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You are 100% right. Yep.
Yeah.
The person who came up with put it where the start button used to be probably got a raise, probably was promoted. That is an evil genius idea.
Yeah.
Because people will click it by accident. Yeah.
I salute its inventiveness. I despise its terribleness.
I feel like Panos Panay probably thought that up.
Like, just, I didn't want to say it was the crown prince of evil over there, but it was, you know.
I feel like that's his move right there. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, somebody said to him, we need you to get more people to click on ads. How can you guys do this? Right. Yeah. Yep.
We could have this button that follows your mouse cursor around, so no matter what you click the ad button.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea.
That'll be in Windows 12.
Book that guy. That's good.
That was the first Delphi program I ever wrote.
Nice. Nice.
Anywho, yes. So anyway, they're fixing it. It's, to me, it's astonishing that after 1 year has gone by, we got so few updates. It's bizarre to me that now that we're entering the second year, they're talking about fixing these things, which we identified in June 2020, or 2021, as being problems. And they're sort of slowly addressing them. Hopefully sometime between now and next October, via some moment update, we will get the updates I just described. I'm hoping it's not, you know, like a year, because these aren't big deals, but it'd be needed.
They'll be in moments, right? It'll come in one of these moment things. Interim feature drops, right?
Yep. I think so.
I will be listening with my ears on.
Bated breath?
Yes. No, I'll have my, I'll put my big ears on.
Oh, your big ears, yeah.
Yeah. So that I will be ready when the time comes. Stop. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. In related news, Leo, this month, it is October, Microsoft's going to release I call it the October update. I'm not really sure if they ever gave it a name.
It's the spooky update.
Which will deliver those.
It's the
additional the features that will complete Windows 11 version 22 H2. Given that it's coming literally within days, right? Weeks. They have issued an update for the release preview panel that provides those features.
Yep.
So you can have a couple of days to test them before they go live, which is crazy. But so the file explorer thing we talked about, tab user interface, new favorite section in the home view, OneDrive improvements, and then a new navigation bar layout, because that has to change 3 times in 1 year. But, you know, that's what they're doing.
Suggested actions, right? Yeah.
Which is the smallest, dumbest feature, although it may evolve into something more important over time. This is smart tags, in a way,
right?
Remember smart tags from Office? It was going to be in Office 2013, maybe, or 2010. I don't remember. A long time ago. Basically, you type in a future date or a future time. And as you type space to get onto the next thing, you'll see a little toolbar pops up. And depending on the apps installed on your computer, you'll see a list of actions that you can do against those. Mm-hmm. So the default for those are going to be create new event, and that would be using the calendar app. Yeah. Cool. If you type a phone number and type a space, you'll get a toolbar, and one of the things will be call this phone number with Teams. You know, that type of thing. And I have literally just described this feature in its entirety. Those are the three things you can do, or the two things. That's it. That's the whole thing.
But you know they're going to expand the pool of what that is. Right?
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, over time, this will probably become more powerful. I suspect people will look at this and say, hey, you know, it'd be a cool idea. And, you know, maybe we'll see some stuff.
Yeah.
Or it just disappears into a black hole and goes away, you know, which is how sometimes these things go.
Yeah. Charms 2.0.
The return of charms. It's just charms. Oh, it's okay. Taskbar Overflow. It's just a prettier version of Taskbar Overflow with a little bit of in-place icon management, I guess.
Yeah, if you have too many things in your taskbar and you want to see them all, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, whatever. Yeah. And then the one I have to be honest, I've read every description of this I can find. I've never seen anything that makes sense of it, but this is what Microsoft says. I should say this is background. Windows 10 and 11 support a feature called Nearby Sharing, which allows you to share over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth with a computer that's on the same network, right? I use this all the time with the book. It's actually really helpful. In fact, I did an episode of the other podcast about Nearby Share. I don't know if it's live yet, but I don't think anyone knows about this feature. It's been around for a couple of years. This is their description of what's happening to this. Discover and share to more devices, including desktops, using a Nearby Share. Okay. It sounds like they're, I guess, does Nearby Sharing, the feature's called Nearby Sharing, by the way, but I guess the feature, does it work with desktop PCs? Is that possible? I guess if you're on an Ethernet connection, maybe that's what it is. Hmm. I don't know. Anyway, it's a neat little feature. I guess it's going to get better. I'm curious to see it. And I think that's it. I think that's literally.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the entire list. So that's what's coming soon.
When you install this isn't, it's funny. I asked them if this was considered like a moment. Mm-hmm. I didn't use that term because they don't want us to use that term, but like another feature drop, like an interim feature drop. And they're like, no, this is part of 22H2. And I'm like, oh, so 22H2 is being delivered in two parts. That's the first time we've ever seen this happen with a feature update, right? Like here's some of the features. Nope. Here's the rest of them. You know.
Based on the way that I install these features now, which is using a months-old cable, well, it's actually a cumulative update, right? Mm-hmm. It will just be one of the, won't even say feature update. It will probably, it might not even identify itself. You know, it might just say KB, whatever the number is, and then you reboot and you,
like a cumulative update. That's what I'm guessing this is, because they've been a little confusing about when it's coming out. And what I think, what I think is going to happen is they're going to test it in preview. The C and D week of October. So, right, you know how we have Patch Tuesday, then the next 2 weeks they roll out previews of other things that are going to be in the next Patch Tuesday. So I think the mainstream users are going to get this in November, even though they're calling it sometime. They sometimes and call it the October update.
The C week is 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's actually pretty close. But then again, they've been testing these features. They've been kind of matriculating them through you know, dev channel to beta and now to release preview. So I think you're right. I think 2 weeks from yesterday, you'll be able to seek and get the preview version of this update. I think that's exactly right. But, again, no one from Microsoft will be clear about this or say anything about it, but
it's been very murky because they keep calling it the October update. I'm like, yeah, but if I'm right, the mainstream users won't get this till November Patch Tuesday, right? Like that's when they'll get it.
Right.
Hey, okay. Do they still include RoboCopy with Windows? Let me just check here.
The command line tool, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
RoboCopy. Yeah, they sure do. Robust file copy. You know why I ask?
Yes.
Because people...
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you? Do you know why I ask?
I think I do.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Because people are always calling me saying, how come Windows copy is so slow?
Yeah. So lost in all the garbage that was Windows 8 were some actually really unique, really good desktop features. And one of the best ones was the new file copy experience, which they multi-threaded it. You could do multiple file copies at the same time that wouldn't harm the performance of the other file copies. You could pause file copies, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently, they've stepped back from this in Windows 11 22H2. So if you're copying files locally or over a network and one of the computers is using 22H2, you're going to have significantly slower file copy performance, like 40% slower. And this is a bug. They're working on it.
Is this a hard computer science problem? Because I feel like it's been solved.
I don't think it is.
In 1981.
The problem is, don't touch something that works.
Yeah.
You know? So, no, I think this is a, more of a, you know, like the human error thing. It's always like the human error that's the reason for like a plane crash or, a, you know, whatever it is, like some, you know, some electrical grid goes down. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I clicked the button and went and grabbed a donut, you know? I feel like this is what happened on the back end. Someone just, I don't know, stumbled over some code and screwed up something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they will fix it.
Yeah. Never leave your code.
Copies files really fast. I'm just, I don't know.
If you leave it lying on the floor, somebody's going to trip on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's going to happen. It's going to break.
You know what goes pretty quick, though? Nearby share. Good thing.
Is that a good feature? You like that feature?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. Is there a limit on the size of a
hidden gem?
You is there?
Yeah, 40 gigabyte. No, I don't know. Actually, I'm not really sure. It's pretty fast in my experience. It's pretty
using Wi-Fi, but I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
it, do it I actually have to will aim work over my Bluetooth if that's all you have to do it.
Yeah, the screens have to be facing each other. I don't know if people understand how computers work, but yeah, the screens have to.
There was, you remember the Spot Watch, the Microsoft
yes.
watch? You had
oh, yeah,
to actually
hold it up
had
to the,
but then
hold it up to the
CRT.
The
you had to have a CRT,
an epileptic fit.
Yeah, because it doesn't work on LCDs. So
right.
they had to get
that's
rid
right.
of it.
That's right. It required a yeah. You're right. It required a CRT display.
Yeah,
I forgot
little,
about that part.
Little
of it.
Hole yeah, in the bottom right. of the face of the watch, so yeah. that it could you could aim it at the screen.
It's the same technology you, Apple. You set one up. You know the little Starburst display.
I love that.
Where you,
yeah,
configure,
I love that.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think that's the same tech.
Oh, I don't really. I think there's no, something no, a little no. more modern.
Timex, watch of the future.
Yeah. I had one. And
I did too.
It came out right as CRTs were leaving the market.
Exactly.
So
it was like Microsoft
timing.
Bob was like a Windows 3 app just when Windows 95 yeah. was coming out.
Yeah.
Good timing. Maybe I should marry the boss.
All right. Let's see here. How are we? I think it might be a good time to interrupt with another yeah. a fabulous commercial, and then we'll get back to the fun and games that we call Windows Weekly. Okay, you dozers. Actually, now that LCD monitors have gotten really affordable, and you might wonder why you're still staring at a single screen when you could have a second screen. And imagine, if you will, that second screen doing all the meetings, you know, all the Zooming, the Teaming, the Google Meeting. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's what MIMO Monitors makes. And now those are those little, like I have a little 7-inch MIMO monitor. I love it. The software they use, Unify Meeting, is now available for you standalone as well. So Unify Meeting solves a really big problem in my life. We use internally Google Meet. I frequently have to do Teams calls with the folks at Premier because they're a Microsoft house. We use Zoom. All of you are on Zoom. So I'm using all of these all the time. And unfortunately, Google Meet's hang up button is right where the Zoom unmute your mic button is. And invariably, I'll join a team meeting with the company and I'll hang up the minute I get in there because I think I'm unmuting my mic, but I'm really hanging it up. See, the different user interfaces can be confusing. Unify Meeting solves this. It's your intuitive software solution, simplifies your work life by taking all your favorite video conferencing solutions and putting one simple universal interface on top of it. So it's always the same no matter what you're using. This is such a, the timing is perfect for this in this hybrid work world. We're all spending a lot more time on video calls, right? And I tell you, I'm sure I'm not alone where it's just like, where's the button for that? What am I using right now? Unify eliminates the frustration. It takes out the guesswork. It's reliable every time. Buttons and commands always in the same place. Doesn't matter if you're using Zoom or Teams or Meet. Whether you're working full-time in the office remotely or maybe you're worse, hybrid, you know, half and half, Unify keeps your video conferencing simple and intuitive. You can navigate between all your meetings easily without worrying about needing to keep track of changing video conferencing apps or changing commands. It's always on your desktop as a calendar. So it's your, which people, you know, that's something I like is my calendar, my desktop with your next meeting. And instead of saying, now, what do I need? Zoom? What do I have to launch here? Meet? What am I doing? You click the meeting, click the invite app, the Unify meeting opens up in the right app with the same UI you're used to. You don't need to know anymore. It doesn't matter. You don't have to manually open the video conferencing software and even know what meeting software it's your next meeting's using. It's so great. The best way to do it, though, is with that external MIMO display, because it doesn't take up any desk real estate. The display's got your calendar. So it's like, you know, when you're not in a meeting, it's like your calendar display. When you are in a meeting, there's the meeting. And this is cool. You could still see the Zoom UI or the Meet UI or the Teams UI on the big screen. So you still have access to the old UI. Unify Meetings running on the little monitor. It's the best of both worlds. Runs on Windows, PC compatible. The whole year, $35.88. Or, and I think this is the best way to go, purchase a MIMO monitor and it comes with it for free. So, Unify. That's the name of the program, Unify Meeting. Try Unify for your team at work. Try it for yourself. UNIFYMEETING.com. UnifyMeeting.com. Enter the code WW. You're going to get 25% off the year subscription, but you can use the same code and get 25% off any of MIMO's 7-inch displays. They're really nice. Plug them in. Boom. You're good. You're done. It's such a great way. If you're doing a lot of video conferencing, and who isn't these days? Simplify with Unify. UnifyMeeting.com. Don't forget the code DUBDUB. Use that so that they get credit. Paul and Mary Jo, we thank you, MIMO Monitors, for supporting the show. Unify Meeting. Great stuff. UnifyMeeting.com. Now, I think Outlook's out. Is Outlook out?
Oh, wait.
The new Outlook.
Oh, somebody in the Discord said it was out.
Yeah, did we not just? I thought we just. Did we not talk about this?
Well, I think it's Microsoft 365 time. So this feels like maybe the time to talk about it if we haven't already. Yeah. I don't think we have. Yeah. Am I wrong?
I think last week we mentioned there was a new preview of Outlook for Windows, the new Outlook for Windows.
Right. Oh, so okay. So we already.
It's still in preview.
I'm so behind. Okay.
Still in preview.
Oh, I thought it was out for reals. Okay.
No, you know what I saw, though? I saw in the Microsoft 365 Message Center a mention saying it's going to be rolling out generally, I think, this month or early next month. So it's close.
Okay.
It's very close.
Nice. I mean, they have a lot of stuff to add. You know, multi-account support, for example.
I know.
That would be
I wonder if they're going to roll it without that. I can't imagine... Oh. Although they could, you know what they could do? And that was the tip originally when we heard about Monarch at the beginning, was they were going to roll it out and let it run alongside the existing Outlook and not say to everybody, okay, now you got to drop existing Outlook and go to this. Like, it was going to run in parallel for a while, probably while they keep adding features, right? And then the cutoff date to roll people over is way out there in the future somewhere.
This is going to be a whole dead finger situation for a lot of people. Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. And then a lot of people are waiting for it to replace the built-in mail and calendar that's in Windows. We don't even know when that's going to happen, but supposedly that also is going to happen at some point too, right? So we don't know when, though.
That can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, I know you hate that program. I use it. It's okay. Hate. He hates it. But this coming week, we've got Microsoft Ignite. And I wrote a kind of a little preview story about... something you're going to hear a lot about at Ignite that I think a lot of people don't quite understand what this is and the significance of it. It's the thing Microsoft calls industry clouds, which are these vertical clouds they sell. Like, there's a cloud for healthcare, retail, financial services, sustainability, sovereignty. They have all these different offerings. A lot of people just equate this as Microsoft is bundling together a bunch of stuff and they're trying to sell you all these things as bundles. And hope that you'll just buy them all together and use more of their products. In part, that is true why they're doing that, right? Like, they to use these industry clouds, you have to be a pretty big customer and you have to already have licenses for things like Azure, Dynamics 365, Microsoft 365. So we're not talking about something for like SMBs or definitely not for individuals, right? This is a play for big companies. But I've been like kind of reading up on what Microsoft is doing to position this, and I just thought it was a bundle, but it's more than that, actually. They have gone on the record and said, this is how we're trying to onboard more customers to Azure. So they're using this idea that they have something customized for these markets to try to get customers who may not be Azure users right now to move over to Azure. Another interesting thing is this is a way that Microsoft is talking. You know, we always joke about Microsoft talks about their big customers as partners. And I used to laugh. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Everybody's a partner, right? Well, the reason they're doing that is that they're trying to get to a point where instead of going in and having a conversation with the customer and selling them one thing, like we're going to sell you Microsoft 365 or we're going to sell you Dynamics 365. They want to go in and say, you know what? You have a problem. We have a bunch of solutions. We're going to sell you a cloud customized just for your particular industry. So I think it's really changing the way Microsoft is selling more than I kind of gave them credit for. And it's so these clouds are not Azure, Dynamics 365 and Microsoft 365. It's a layer on top of that so that you have like connectors and APIs and frameworks and all this stuff. They're trying to sell you like an extra level on top of these other things, but they're also trying to contain it so that they don't put their partners out of business. They want partners to be able to provide another layer on top of that. So there's a lot of pieces going on, a lot of complexities going on. You're definitely going to hear Satya Nadella on day one talk about industry clouds. I know you are. And well, I think
actually,
there'll be more of them in the future.
Cloud partner program launched this past week.
We should mention that. Right. Today, this week, right, Microsoft rebranded the Microsoft Partner Network to the Microsoft Cloud Program. So they revamped their partner program. They announced that this was going to come back in March, and they have all these new designations. They're trying to align how they sell the cloud with how the partner program works instead of just having like gold, silver competencies, that kind of thing. It's been a rocky road, to say the least, about trying to get people to move over to this new model. But I saw that they did tell partners this week that, okay, if you're really still using gold, silver, and you want to get the benefits you have, you can just stay on that and don't worry about the new program.
You know what industry they'd really like to offer a cloud to?
Who?
The Pentagon.
Oh, yeah. They've got the Microsoft government cloud. They've got government,
but what about the Jedi cloud? I guess they lost. All gone, huh?
Well, no. They've lost the Jedi program, but they've got other hooks into other places like that. You know, the HoloLens contract that seems to be moving ahead. The thing they're building with that.
I think that's a wedge into the DOD.
Me too. Same.
Because I know that hurt that they lost that they won it, then they lost it.
I know. It was like back and forth, right? And now Microsoft's been lobbying along with some other companies like Oracle to try to tell the government, you know what? You should never have a single provider win on kind of big contracts.
Multi-cloud suddenly is the right
multi-cloud is the right solution. Right?
Yeah. Which, by the way, yes, right? Yeah. I mean, that does.
Is it though for
sense.
So what Jedi was really designed to do is a super secure encrypted cloud for highly classified business. And is a multi-cloud, multi-homed cloud the best solution for that?
Well, yeah, if you care about resiliency and, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess if your encryption's good, it doesn't matter, you get extra transport and stuff going on.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe that is maybe that is the better answer. Yeah.
Yeah, I think resiliency is a
government class,
definite
thing. You know.
Everybody can suck at the government
encryption.
And that's what we all want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deep down.
Yeah. Exactly.
honestly, the government spends so much. If you can get in on that.
They do.
That's lucrative. That's
it
good.
It sure
business.
Is.
Yeah. Look at Boeing, right? Look at Lockheed.
You thought E5 was expensive. Wait till you see G5.
I keep waiting for E7. I don't know. I hear I'm wrong. I keep bringing
I'm
it
only
up.
I'm holding out for the SUV size ones, like X1,
Mary Jo,
X2,
don't put it. Don't even say that. Like, don't give them any ideas. E5 is expensive. Don't give them any E7 idea.
I am using Microsoft Edge. Right now.
And you just got a major new update that literally has no new
Nothing
end user
new.
Features.
Oh, how
the
exciting.
The quickest news story of all time.
Wow.
Now, that
was
Edge
fast.
Sidebar, that was already there, right? Wasn't the Edge sidebar already there?
Wow.
Yep.
I thought it was.
Okay.
Yep. It's all back end stuff. So some dev stuff in there. There's some IT pro stuff. There's nothing for
anything exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what is exciting? Tomorrow, we're going to get a new Pixel 7. Probably.
Oh, is that exciting?
We're not going to hear any surprises because Amazon and everybody's just already told the world exactly.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but, you know why?
Are you guys buying?
Because Amazon had the little devices event, and Google was like, oh, look, we have all this new search stuff. And Amazon's like, oh, look, here's all the new devices you're going to release next week.
I'm staying with mine.
Your Pixel 6?
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, but I think I have to just to kind of look at it. So.
I don't think it's going to be a big upgrade year over year.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. We're going to be doing the event, though, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. my time. So I'll be in my jammies with Ron and Ron Richards from All About Android, and we'll be covering that event. Google's doing it live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So are you going to go over there, Mary Jo? You could.
No, I am not invited to that event.
But you're a user. You're a customer.
I'm a user, but they don't care. I'm a low-level user. I'm not like one of their marquee users.
High-end user. We will be streaming that live, live.twit.tv, thanks to the good offices of the people at Club Twit who subsidize all of our stuff, like your stuff, like your great show, Hands on Windows with Paul Thurrott. There's Hands on Mac with Micah Sargent.
Yeah.
Ad-free versions of this show and every show.
You're doing a Surface event a week from today.
Next October 12th. Same thing. Yeah, October 12th. Brought to you by Club Twit. $7 a month. Go to twit.tv/clubtwit if you're not yet a member. It really does make a difference in the kinds of stuff and the volume of stuff we can do. All right. All right. All right. I'm ready for some Xbox news.
You turned into Matthew McConaughey there for a second.
All right. Here's the man of the hour, Paul Thurrott.
You know, I would say many weeks, I say to Mary Jo, don't worry. I'm going to watch it really quick. This one is not like that.
Okay.
So this one, there's a lot of stuff going on. So the EU this past week, announced. There was a legal filing that you had to go look for and find, but they said publicly that they are going to decide on the Activision Blizzard acquisition by Microsoft by November 8th. Right. So it's roughly the time frame we were expecting anyway, but they put a date on it. And so we'll see what happens there. There's been a lot of back and forth on this thing. I've not changed my stance on this. I don't think Microsoft has either, internally or externally, which is there's no reason this isn't going to happen. It's just going to be the right set of concessions for the industry, especially for Sony, to make sure that Call of Duty especially is on the PlayStation forever or whatever. That's going to happen. No big deal. In bigger news, Google announced the inevitable the other day, and said that they are killing Stadia, which is their cloud game streaming service. I know from the outside, this is kind of like a cynical thing, and people are like, oh, of course they killed it, Google, they're terrible. And honestly, Stadia was killed by internal wounds, there's no doubt about it. The thing that they got right, the thing that they did very right for a cloud streaming service, is they configured they have a controller, right? You can use any controller you want on any device, but if you have the Stadia controller, that thing has a direct connection to the cloud. So you have a screen that is connected to the cloud to whatever game you're playing that's displaying the game, obviously. And then you have a controller that's not connected to the screen. It's connected to the cloud directly. And the idea there is there's a bunch of reasons for that. One of the reasons would be your switch screens, right? So maybe you're sitting in front of a big TV or whatever. It's time to go to work. You get on the bus and now you've switched screens. So you're on your phone. But you can use the same controller. That's kind of cool. The real issue with cloud-based gaming is latency. And this really, really helps with latency. And so when Amazon came out with their Luna game service, which, by the way, I think it's also 2 years ago, they did the same scheme for their controller, same exact deal. They had some numbers to it. I think they said that it's off the top of my head, but I believe they said that it really reduced latency by up to 40% over a Bluetooth connection directly with the device that you're playing on. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. In fact, I know it's a big deal because I've used Xbox Cloud Gaming, which is Microsoft's game streaming service, and latency is a huge issue. So depending on the game you're playing, that might not be a big deal. But once you get into like first-person shooters, it's a serious problem. Once you get into multiplayer first-person shooters, it's an impossibility. Like it's just at that point, it basically means the game is just unplayable.
It's a huge disadvantage.
Yes. So I'm calling on Microsoft to basically copy this technology, right? Come up with a new version of their controller, which I recommend, they could call it the Xbox Cloud Gaming Wireless
Controller. Yeah, the
controller.
Cloud controller, yeah.
And have it connect directly, right? It could be the third generation controller, if you will, for the Xbox Series X and S or whatever.
This is somehow owned by Google, but Amazon does it
too.
No,
because Amazon did the same thing.
Yeah,
it's an implementation thing. It's the way they implement it.
Yeah, instead of Bluetooth, it's Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And connect directly to the cloud. This will put Xbox Cloud Gaming over the top. And by the way, you know, with this Activision Blizzard thing I just mentioned, Call of Duty and other games coming to Microsoft, coming to Xbox Game Pass, coming presumably to Xbox Cloud Gaming, this is what's going to be necessary for those games to even make sense.
Right. You have to do this, Microsoft.
So hopefully that's what happens. But that's my hope and my dream is that this is what's going to happen. If you are a flight simulator fan, you got a new world update this past week. I think it's update 11. So these world updates, what they do is they add high resolution imagery for different places around the world. So everyone's focused on an area. This one is for Canada. So it includes five airports, 9 exciting new missions. This is their language, which include like 3 bush trips, 3 landing challenges, and 3 discovery flights. So the idea is if they don't have a world update for a particular area, or if they don't specifically focus on higher resolution imagery for a particular area, you know, you fly, you know, it looks good. But once they do the high resolution imagery, it looks exactly like that place. It's kind of awesome when you see these things. So, you know, when this first came out, there was one for Europe, Western Europe. I think we had Paris. I flew around Paris. You know, it's awesome. It just makes it look awesome. So if you're a fan of Canada, you can fly to Canada. And then it's the beginning of the month. So we're switching over with Game Pass and Games for Gold. So Game Pass, we have the first list of new games for the first half of the month. There's some good stuff in there. The Walking Dead games are in there, which is amazing on PC, which is really interesting. And then the game I'm probably going to play, which is A Plague's Tale Requiem. So I think this is the second game in the series. I played the first game, go figure, on Stadia. Kind of a lightweight, you know, fantasy adventure kind of a thing. Good game. And there are several others across.
All spooky. I guess it's the spooky month.
So, yeah.
Oh, Dyson Sphere Program is supposed to be good. My friends have been telling me to play that.
Never even heard of it.
We like simulations. This is in the Club Twit gaming section. Actually, it's like in the coding section.
House painting simulation.
Yeah, yeah. That's so much fun. Especially watching it dry. God, I love that part.
Tom Sawyer simulation. To date, if you were an Xbox Live Gold subscriber and then more recently an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, you got 4 free games every month through the Games with Gold program. That has evolved over time. So over time, we had Xbox 360 games is where it started. The Xbox One came out. Xbox One games got involved in there. So we had 2 of each. Eventually, they had OG Xbox games in there because they did the backward compatibility thing. So instead of an Xbox 360 title some months, you would get an OG game. But over time, what happened was, you know, so much time went by, all the games that could be licensed and brought to this program were. And so a couple of months ago, Microsoft said, hey, we're kind of running out of games to put in with Games of Gold, so we're just going to focus on the newer games. The newer games mean they run on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S. And, you know, my assumption was that we would still get 4 games, but now it will be like newer games, and we're not, at least this month. So we've run out of Xbox 360 games, and this month we're getting 2 games, not 4. It's $45 of value. I would say most months it was probably in the $70 to $100 range because it was 4 titles, right? So this month it is only 2, unfortunately. So it's Endbound and Bomber Crew Deluxe Edition. So these are both Xbox One titles is what they are. So we'll see what happens over time. I'm curious if maybe some nonce will have 3 or 4 again, or if this is maybe it's just 2 now. But
you get to keep them forever, right? So
you get to keep them for the life of your subscription.
Okay, yeah. So they can't go into your library. Back. There's no point in redoing them because they already did them.
Yeah,
everybody's got them.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not like Epic where you just get it for free and then you have it forever. This is part of your subscription. So as long as you have a active subscription,
it's like iTunes. Yeah,
yeah.
Like buying music on Spotify.
Right. This week's most confusing and curious news is that Microsoft is rumored, this is not a fact, but is rumored to be switching from their in-house Slipspace game rendering engine, which they used for developing Halo Infinite, to the Unreal Engine, which is what basically the entire industry uses. I don't know what to say about this. So I keep referencing this thing from 2 years ago where Leo and I, in August that year, watched the big event, the big reveal, and it was horrible. And I kept expecting the graphics to explode and be better. They delayed the game a year when it came out. I think Halo Infinite looks great. It looks fine, I should say. It looks true to the history of Halo. I think that maybe that was the point of it. I've been talking to some other people about this, and one of the suggestions here is that the problem with Slipspace, which is the in-house engine, is that nobody knows how to use it. And so I don't know if you've been following all the drama with Halo Infinite, but there have been calls to get rid of 343 Industry. There have been some major defections already, or people have just left the company. These are the people who are creating Halo now. And I think if they want to bring in outside talent, one of the stumbling blocks is they use this Slipspace engine that nobody knows anything about. And so if they want to attract external talent, they might have to switch to something that everyone understands, which is the Unreal Engine. So that kind of makes it seem like it could, in fact, be happening. This would be an unbelievable engineering effort, you know, which is kind of strange. And so we'll see what happens here. But according to some people who seem to know what they're talking about, meaning they have sources, et cetera, and are credible, its decision's already been decided and this is happening. So we shall see. But that would be an amazing thing. Also, I just point out one of the people that left, aside from the founder of 343, was the person who architected the Slipspace game rendering engine. He's gone. So maybe they're moving this to a new platform. That would be fascinating. First time this has happened, by the way, although it's the first time I can remember this happening after a game has come out, right? So I think Daikatana might have been a version of a game where they were I don't remember which game or ending they would have gone with, but eventually they went with like the Quake, the updated version of the Quake. Maybe it was the Quake 2 engine, but it was one of the Quake engines they went with eventually. One of the many things that led to that game being played. So we'll see. And then finally, the Xbox consoles have a feature called Quick Resume, and this is something that Microsoft applies automatically to games which meet a certain spec. So if a game can be quick resumed, what that means is you load a game, you play a game, you go out, you load a different game. And then normally when you go back to that first game, it just kind of loads it as if from scratch because there's only one game that can be in memory at once or one game that can be ready to roll at once. But quick resume allows those things to pick up much more quickly. My understanding is that quick resume is automatic. It's not something they engage with the developers with. It just happens or it doesn't. But I do know that when it happens, there's nothing you as the user can do to configure it. You may wish that not to happen. And one of the reasons is it doesn't quick resume properly. Like you come back and the game state is screwed up. So I didn't realize I was seeing this. I actually see this every single day because I play Call of Duty. So if I'm playing Call of Duty and then I go back to some other game and it quick resumes, it always says, game lobby not available anymore. It's not a problem because I'm playing multiplayer, but if I was playing single player, I would actually have to not restart the whole campaign, but I mean, you know, it's not sitting there waiting for me to just pick up the game again. And what Microsoft is apparently going to do, or I should say they are testing, is the ability for you as the user to go in and configure game by game. Say, I don't want this on this title because it doesn't seem like it's working properly. So depending on the games you're playing, that actually could be a huge difference. For me, it's not a big deal. It's not, you know, when I come back to Call of Duty and it's like the game lobby is no longer available, of course it's not. I played yesterday maybe, or I just played another game for a while. It's not a big deal, but you know, that'd be a good addition, I think. I'd like to think that they're working with developers to make sure that this works properly, which would be the better approach, but letting you turn it off or turn it on your own is good too.
Yeah, I think it's not unusual for a game not to resume in the right place.
I see it every day, so I just don't think anything of it.
Just and used then to it.
It wasn't until I saw them describe the problem, I was like, oh, I see that every day.
Yeah,
I thought that was normal. That.
It's normal.
I thought a blue screen every turn I turned on the computer was normal.
It's completely normal.
That's what Windows does, right? There's a green screen, and then you use the computer. Yeah.
This Stockholm syndrome, baby.
Yep.
All right.
Mary Joy, I apologize. There was a
lot going on. That's all right.
It was good.
It's okay.
It was juicy. It was wonderful.
We're going to talk about language. I don't like words like juicy or tasty. I learned this morning in a tech article that I can't remember what the product was, but it was some kind of a hardware product, had a tasty
Tasty.
Setup screen. A tasty, setup screen. I literally complained to my wife for 10 minutes. My wife, of course, is a saint. She puts up with this.
For a while, but sexy was very popular, and it really does.
They're starting to use really using weird words now.
They know they can't say sexy anymore, so they have to come up with something else.
Okay. It's
yummy.
Yummy.
It's a good personality.
I think Steve Jobs started when he said it was a lickable display.
I still get weird like every time I think about that. Is it? Do you really want to do that?
Well, wasn't XP, was it journalists that described it as chewy, or was it Microsoft called
chewy?
She's tasty.
I described it as a sea of blues and greens.
Yeah, that's
good. I lost a friend.
A banquet
of blue and green. We have a banquet with the back of the book, including a beverage for your degustation. But first, a word from our sponsors. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by SecureWorks. SecureWorks is a leader in cybersecurity, building solutions for security experts by security experts. SecureWorks offers superior threat detection and rapid incident response, all while making sure customers are never locked into a single vendor. This month is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. It means now is the time to raise awareness about digital security and empower everyone to protect their data from cyber crime. SecureWorks has the perfect solution. Now's the time to get Taegis XDR. Why? Well, in 2022, cybercrime will cost the world $7 trillion with a T dollars. By 2025, that figure will grow to $10.5 trillion. In 2021, ransomware totaled $20 billion in damages. An attack occurred every 11 seconds. By 2031, ransomware projected to cost $265 billion a year and strike every 2 seconds. Make sure your organization is not the next victim with SecureWorks Taegis XDR. SecureWorks Taegis provides superior detection, identifying more than 470 billion security events per day, prioritizing the true positive alerts and eliminating alert noise, allowing organizations to focus on the real threat. In addition, Taegis offers unmatched response, automated response actions to eliminate threats before damage is ever done. With SecureWorks Taegis Managed XDR, you can easily leverage SecureWorks experts to investigate and respond to threats on your behalf, so you can cut dwell times, decrease operational burden, and reduce cost. And with 24/7 by 365 coverage, whether you experience a Christmas Day security event or half your team is out sick, you can trust that SecureWorks is behind you. Many companies are facing a shortage of security talent. SecureWorks acts in as an extension of your security team on day one, alleviating cybersecurity talent gaps, and allows you to customize the approach and coverage level you need. What happens if you've already found an intruder in your system? There's no need to worry. I want you to write down this number, 1-800-BREACHED. 1-800-BREACHED. That number will connect you with the SecureWorks Emergency Incident Response Team, and they can provide you with immediate assistance 24/7 in responding to and remediating a possible cyber incident or data breach. At SecureWorks, you can learn more about the ways today's threat environment is evolving and the risks it can present to your organization, including case studies, reports from their counter-threat unit, and more. Visit SecureWorks.com/TWIT to get a free trial of Taegis XDR. That's SecureWorks.com/TWIT. SecureWorks, defending every corner of cyberspace. And now, I'm trying to think of some slogan for you, Paul.
Yeah.
Bemoaning every update to Windows 11. It's Paul Thurrott. And your tip of the week.
I think belaboring every update.
Well, that's our job. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
We're the kings of belaboring.
So a couple of tips. We mentioned Ignite is happening. I think we mentioned, right? That Ignite is next week. Yep. I have things I'm looking for, right? I've given up thinking there's going to be anything. Just think about Windows. You never know. Although Windows 365, interesting. But I'm most interested in Loop. And when I look for Loop in the session list, which is now available, that's the tip, I should say. I'm sorry. The session catalog for Microsoft Ignite 2022 is now available. There are actually, when you get rid of the different language versions, there's only one major session that involves Loop in any way. And curiously, it is called Windows. Building What Matters Most for Your Business, starring our buddy Panos Panay. Also Stevie Batiche, right? The hardware genius. Joe Belfiore, who for some reason is still kicking
around.
Oh, this
is the one you want to go to.
Yeah, I think this is
it's
the one.
It's short. I think it's only 40 minutes.
It's very short.
They're going to cover an interesting range of topics. So Microsoft, Windows 365, Intune, Defender, Teams, Loop, and Surface. So we'll see. We've been waiting for Loop to happen. Loop, of course, is this thing that is basically Microsoft's version of Notion, we'll call it, but it has this componentization to it. Loop components will be put into Outlook and Teams and elsewhere throughout Microsoft 365. And
you think it's probably going to be Batiche who talks about it, you think? Or
about Loop?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, Joe? Actually. I would imagine Joe Belfiore might be the Loop guy.
I think Belfiore, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's kind of in the broader Microsoft 365 part of the company these days.
He's still got the hair, too. He's still really...
he's a small-town girl.
Yeah.
Living in a lonely world. We will see, but that's the one I'm looking for. So look up Microsoft Ignite 2022 session catalog is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And you can search for the topics you care about, et cetera, et cetera. So worth looking at. And what else do I got here? So last week I've been talking about the Windows 11 field guide. So if you are a Throt Premium member or just a normal member and don't mind using a couple of tokens, you can start checking the book out. So I've started uploading the book to the website. By the time I'm done, I'll be done uploading what I've already written by the end of the week. This takes a long time. I started this last week. There should be about 30 chapters/articles.
Holy cow, Paul.
You're
such an overachiever.
Holy moly. And I'm afraid to say what I'm about to say next. I'm not going to promise this, but this will be like the first version of the book when it comes out in book form soon on LeanPub. This will equate to this almost exactly. It has some, get to know Windows 11, install Windows 11, upgrade to Windows 11, personalize Windows 11, desktop, and multitasking files are the major sections that make up this first part of the book. Last night I decided I never really mapped out the rest of it because I redesigned the book, if you will. So there are smaller chapters, but there's a lot more of them. And in part I did it because I wanted to get it on the web somehow. And now it's on the web.
This is great. This is so, it makes me glad I'm a premium member. This is fantastic.
So
really nice.
Last night I stupidly spent about 30 minutes saying, well, what will the rest of the book look like? And I want to be very clear about this. I am not promising this, but this part of the book is probably, I forgot now, it's about it's 200. I think I want to say it's 200.
I hate saying things off
the top of my head. I think it's 280 pages, but it's, here's the thing. The rest of the book, if it goes according to plan, is going to be roughly 80 more chapters/articles. So this is approximately...
Holy moly.
Not quite a quarter of it, I guess.
Holy cow, Paul. You are big. Prolific.
Well, so back in the day, but when books were books and they were printed on paper, the Windows Secrets books used to be about 1,000 pages long. Yeah. And so this is tracking to be about roughly the same length. It's kind of a comprehensive reference. When I moved to digital publishing, I think the Windows 10 field guide is possibly 400 to 500, maybe 500 pages, somewhere in there. But I want to, it's just kind of, it's been like, where's this book? How come it's not happening? What's going on? It's like, well, there's a lot of it. It's been kind of a big thing. So anyway, if you've been waiting for the book version of it, that is coming soon. I just talked to Rafi about this. We're going to get this going in the next couple of days. It will be the same rough content. Like I said, it's not all on the site yet. I still have, I think, 4 more chapters in multitasking, and then there's 3 chapters so far, but there will be more later in the files section as well. So there'll be about 30 chapters, like I said, in the first release, and that will be the first release of the book as well. Anyway, it's real, and there it is. So if you were doubting that it was ever going to happen,
go to my website
and take a look.
It happened with a bang. Wow.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Okay. Yeah, it's nice to kind of get it out of the way because I've been kind of having a... procrastination slash paralysis problem.
Well, it's the only thing keeping you from moving to Mexico. So let's get going anyway, now. Right. Yeah.
That's happening. All right. So there's that. Yeah. So as far as the apps, I have two apps as well. One of the many things that Microsoft promised last year when it announced and then released Windows 11 was something called the HDR calibration app. It never happened, but this week, actually today, I believe they quietly released it to the Windows Store. So it's a Windows Store app that only runs on Windows 11. It provides three different calibration designs or
patterns.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Patterns, and it allows you to test the different aspects of HDR, and then configure HDR both for your screen and for your eyes, essentially. So. That is available now if you were waiting for that. I thought it was going to be delivered as part of Windows 11, but I guess they're, it's a separate phone. That's fine. And then for those people who are into Vivaldi, which is one of the other Chromium-based web browsers, they just released version 5.5 on desktop. There's two big features. There's a bunch of features, but the two big things here to me are the new task panel, which is part of their sidebar, which is like their to-do thing, right, of course. Supports due date, repetition, locations, there, all this stuff you would expect. It also natively supports Snap layouts, which led me to an interesting question that I can't answer, which is, I didn't think that you needed to do anything as an app developer, to support Snap layouts, which is the Windows 11 feature. That's part of 22H2, where you move a window around, a pane appears at the top, and then it gives you the panel with the different layout possibilities, and you can drag it into the pane where you want it to go, and then use Snap Assist to put the other ones in place. I thought that was kind of automatic, so I'm not really sure. I don't know what they did to enable this feature. I assumed it worked before, but anyway, it's in there. So if you use Vivaldi, check for updates. You have a new update.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Very exciting. There is an old saying that no program is truly done until it has an email client. Vivaldi.
Vivaldi has an email
putting client. Putting lie to that because they keep adding more crap.
Feed reader.
It is the most.
They've got to do.
Bloated. I mean, I guess if you want your browser to do everything, this is the one for you.
Oh, by the way, you just looked at Edge. Look at the Edge sidebar. Same thing.
There's just this trend.
Integration right in Edge.
A trend going on here.
It's an operating system.
I guess that's really what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Mary Jo Foley, Enterprise Pick Time.
Yeah, this is actually more of a consumer pick. But what? It's still semi
in your lane, Foley.
I know. I don't know. After I put it in there, I'm like, actually, no, this isn't an enterprise
that's
pick,
fine.
But,
that's fine.
I think people will care who listen to the show. This is about, Microsoft 365 Personal and Home. It's called Personal and Family these days. Personal and Family, or if you use the Defender for Individuals product, you are now getting for free from Microsoft an identity theft monitoring service as part of your subscription. So when you peel back the covers, you find out Experian is the one providing this, and Microsoft's working with them to provide it. They'll be able to help you monitor email addresses, passwords, your social security number, driver's license, passport numbers, all the usual stuff. My question, though, is I don't know how many people remember the big Experian breach a year or so ago. I remember because I ended up freezing my credit to make sure I wasn't affected by it.
You mean Equifax? So it makes, Equifax.
Yeah, I think Experian, I ended up freezing
also. They had a breach,
also.
Too? Well, I froze everybody. It's no good to freeze one. Freeze them all. Yeah.
No, I froze everything.
Oh, yeah. Experian had a breach, too. Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm sure everything is good now, but it also kind of makes me leery when I hear about these services. And I'm like, do I want to enable this or don't I want to enable this? Right.
The bad news is they already have everything. They already know everything.
They already have all your data.
This is the Jack in the Box rule. Remember when people were getting sick or dying from eating at Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
I think right after that was probably the safest place in the world to eat. So
that's maybe, a good point. It is.
Maybe experience.
Right.
That's why I get my sushi at the gas station over here.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being overcautious, but I feel like Microsoft is working with them, so they've decided they're trustworthy on this, and it gives you all kinds of monitoring capabilities around the clock built right into your subscription. So you might want to check it out and see if it's something you want to take advantage of.
Yeah, why not? What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
I'm doing it now.
All right. Nice. And then I added another enterprise pick. I don't know if this made it into everyone's show notes, but I remember Paul a couple of weeks ago was talking about how he was getting a lot of mail and comments from people who said they didn't like that their cheese had been moved with Outlook on the web. Like they're like, they're moving where the buttons are and the ribbons are and like, what the heck is going on? And I got a few tweets from people who are mad. Well, one of the people who tweeted me that he did not like those changes, Kyle Wilcox, he just told me this week that, by the way, if you go into the message center in Microsoft 365, there's a new note that says we're updating the locations on some of our buttons and compose pieces on Outlook on the web. So they're basically putting them back to where they were. For the most part. So you know how they move send down lower on the page, and a lot of people are like, I don't like that. I always look up top for my send button. Sounds like they're going to move it back, at least for some subset of customers. So if you're someone who was not happy about that cheese being moved, maybe your cheese is going to be moved back to where it was. Stay tuned.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Microsoft loves your feedback. Maybe. Prepared. you know what? This gives me hope that sometimes they listen to people's feedback when people are really angry and upset. And, that, you know, they give a reason like, we want to make everything uniform. This is why we're making a change in the UI. And then they see some people say, I don't want that. So then they change all the UIs to make them all uniform in a different way, right?
We were talking about muscle memory. I mean, you really do get used to clicking that send button.
No, I know. The other day I was on Outlook on the web and I was like, where is the send button on this thing? I can't find it.
That's so annoying. Yeah. Yeah.
May be fixed. It may be fixed. Stay tuned. The wording is very Microsofty and that there's all these like possible outs for changing things back, but it looks like it could be a good thing.
Nice.
Yep.
And a little blast from the past, kids.
Yeah. We just brought up last week, where was Steve Ballmer?
Yes.
Right.
And so Brian Hall, who used to work at Microsoft, had just posted this video clip, I think, from a very recent appearance by Steve, which I don't know if you can play it on the show.
I see no reason not to. I don't think it's going to get us taken down.
It's pretty good. It makes us all remember why we miss Steve Ballmer.
Ladies and gentlemen, not that you needed it. Here is why we missed Steve Ballmer.
I am so excited to have the game in my hometown of Seattle, Washington.
Are they booing him? He's a Clippers owner.
No, they're cheering him because he's in Seattle.
I am so excited to see Climate Pledge Arena, this fantastic building, light up tonight.
People are laughing. They're all
like, who is this nut job?
They're all, I presume, Supersonics fans.
Why is Uncle Fester so upset?
A lot of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Blazers.
The Blazers?
Portland Blazers versus the Clippers.
In Seattle?
Because Paul Allen fought the Blazers at one point.
Yeah, but I don't understand why this is Seattle. Doesn't the Blazers play in Portland?
I think he means the arena has been. This is where the Seattle
Climate Pledge Arena. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, in other words, this arena was just completely refurbished. So they're doing I don't know why they're playing a Clippers
Blazers game.
Blazers game there, but they are.
Okay, and the Blazers was Paul Allen's.
Did Paul Allen play any role in the new stadiums they built for the football and?
Probably for the Seahawks. Sure.
This
Climate Pledge Arena is something. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. So that's nice.
It just made me miss him when I saw this because I'm like, remember those days?
He's the
like,
same,
whatever you thought of him, he's still the same guy.
He's the same guy. Wow.
God, I miss him so much.
Do you?
Oh, my God. Listen, this guy just displayed more life in one minute than Satya Nadella has displayed his entire lifetime.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
He's an acquired taste.
Well, they both are in a way, but I mean, he's just so... He cares.
He cares.
But what? I'll never know, but he is...
He's really passionate about something.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah.
He is.
And that's the bottom line. You know what I often say when I have a beer is I wish this beer had more anchovy.
Doesn't no. everyone say that?
Yeah. It seems like Mary yes. Jo has a solution.
I do. There is a new hop in town, people, called the anchovy hop.
Oh, it's a hop. Starting, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's showing up on more and more fish. Beers.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It's funny because you're like, wait, anchovy hop and a beer. Okay. Well, the good news is there's no anchovy in anchovy hops.
Yeah.
It's just a name.
Yeah.
I had a beer this week. Other half in Brooklyn makes a beer called Anchovy Testarossa.
And so, there's fish and yeah. cars in this beer.
Fish yeah, and cars.
Rolling the map on the branding here.
Yeah. It's kind of, I'm like, okay. And what? So the description on the chalkboard said, Watermelon Jolly Ranchers. And I said to the guy, I want no parts
God,
of that. Nope.
No,
yeah. Nope. And he goes, no, it doesn't taste anything like that. I don't know what crazy person wrote that, but hey, here, have some. And it totally did not taste like watermelon or does Jolly
this,
Ranchers.
Does this taste like fish and Ferraris then?
What no.
Did, no? Okay.
No, but it had a very savory taste, which was very interesting because a lot of hops and IPAs have very like citrusy or yeah. melony.
Maybe that's why this they was call it anchovies.
A little smoked.
It's piquant. A bit.
I can't quite describe it, but it was very savory, very interesting. They put it in their one of their IPAs. And I think if you're into beers and you're kind of getting sick of the old citrusy root, you know, everything tastes like stone fruit, citrus, melon. Try, if you see anything with an anchovy hop, try it because it's a very new, interesting, more
get
savory
some anchovies
flavor.
With your pizza.
I know. The name is terrible.
It's a picture of a child.
No.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't really go with a beer,
no.
beer pick.
No.
But, okay.
No.
I get it. My anchovies and a balloon animal. I'm here.
Yeah. It's
there's also a picture of cranes for no apparent reason. Maybe yeah. Untapped has lost its marbles. I don't know.
No, I take weird pictures sometimes when you're like, do I want to take another picture of a beer glass
yeah,
or do I want to take
yeah, the, another picture of a beer glass?
There's a certain sameness in all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's my guess. But anyway, if you see anything with an anchovy hop, despite the scary name, it's worth a try. It just gives it a more savory quality.
Anchovy Testarossa.
Oh, so maybe it's a, yeah, because anchovies are kind of salty.
Yeah, savory.
Yeah.
So it gives
yeah.
it a,
yeah. yeah.
And,
yeah.
And Ferraris are.
Are also.
Also very savory.
Yeah, very savory.
They should have called
you
it
might
fish
call them juicy.
I would. But yeah, juicy. They're juicy. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yummy.
See, I understand cars.
You do. You get it. You get it, man. Fantastic. As you know, when we get to the beer, we're here and it's time to say goodbye to all our family, both you winners.
I was going to say exactly that.
And you dosers. Yes.
Sunday nights of my childhood.
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm. M-I-C, see you real soon. K-E-Y, why? Because we love you.
Because we love you.
T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T.
Laboring the points.
We do Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can stop by and watch us live, live.twit.tv. Club Twit members can chat about the show along with all their other fun little hobbies in our Discord. Of course, you have to be a member to be there. That's one of the advantages, by the way, the Discord. It's, you know, there's a velvet rope behind which lurks the fun of the club. If you can't get behind the velvet rope, you can be out there in the public with the unwashed masses at irc.twit.tv. And, you know, for some, that's more fun, right? To be with the normies.
Who's the bouncer in this scenario, Lisa? Who's the?
I am the bouncer.
The person checking IDs.
You
want
to know really? Aunt Pruitt. And man, don't mess with the aunt. I'll tell you what.
No. Yep.
He's our community manager, aka bouncer. No, nobody ever gets bounced from Club Twit because nobody wants to pay $7 to get kicked out.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
That's right. That's why the CompuServe stuff was so good back in the day because
people are paying
a lot to be on that service. You're not going to screw around.
Well, we'll see what happens when Twitter goes paid. It should be a big improvement.
No.
Paul Thurrott, you'll find him at Thurrott.com. And yay, the field guide to winners. Now, if you're a premium member of Thurrott.com, you can get a sneak peek right now at Thurrott.com. And if you're not a premium member, why the hell not? Down the road, the Field Guide to Windows 11 will join the Field Guide to Windows 10 at leanpub.com.
That's right.
We're only
it's
about
to be big.
It's going to be huge. Huge. Mary Jo Foley writes for ZDNet, her blog address, easy to find, all about Microsoft.com. And together they are the dynamic duo of Windows Reportage. We will adjourn for the week. Back next week, we will have things to talk about because the Surface event is that morning.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then Ignite, and, it starts right
Ignite, yeah. So actually, all the Ignite NDAs should be done by then. So
oh, good. Maybe we can know more about Loop. This will be a big one. And other things. There'll be lots, I think, lots to talk about next week. So don't miss episode 798 of Windows Weekly. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. Have a great week. We'll see you next week after the Surface event. Bye-bye.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, and I am the host of Hands on Photography here on Twit TV. I know, you got yourself a fancy smartphone, you got yourself a fancy camera, but your pictures are still lacking. Can't quite figure out what the heck shutter speed means? Watch my show, I got you covered. Want to know more about just the ISO and exposure triangle in general? Yeah, I got you covered. Or if you got all of that down, you want to get into lighting, you know, making things look better by changing the lights around you. I got you covered on that too. So check us out each and every Thursday here on the network. Go to twit.tv/hop and subscribe today.